And I came to chapter 17 of 1 Samuel when it's the encounter of David with Goliath. And there was something that hit me there when I was reading, and that's what I want to share with you. That is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, from verse 25 to 27. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" The word that hit me is the armies of the living God. It doesn't say the armies of God, but the armies of the living God. And I want to speak today about this word, the living God. It is not just God, but living God. And I'm not going to speak about the life of David, because praise the Lord, we are hearing from Pastor beautifully about so many aspects of his life. But the question is God in our lives just God or living God? There is a difference. There was one big difference between David and the whole Israel. For Israel, God was God, but for David was living God. We will touch this topic in a few minutes. One of the names that probably mostly in the world is being used is the name of God. In any religion, in any nation, in different ways, they use the name of God. Obviously, in different language, God is pronounced different ways. People use this name when they are mad, when they are surprised, when they are in danger, and in so many other circumstances, people use this name. And probably most of the time without realizing that they are using that name in vain. Even we Christians sometimes we do that. But strange enough, the name God in English or in Spanish, in English God, in Spanish Dios, derives from pagan God's name. In Latin, it's Deus or Dios, when we call in Spanish Dios, Deus or Zeus, belonging to one of the Greeks' idol, which means God of gods. And in English, they say it comes from a Germanic word, Götten, and that again represents one of their idols at that time. again with the same meaning of God of gods. In Persian, they use Khuda. That means the same. It comes from the same root. Even though they want to represent that the God of creation, the Almighty, but yet the word itself comes from an idol. Now, my question to those who are new here, maybe they are from different backgrounds, doesn't matter. What God are you looking at? Or who is your God? Ask this question: is He a living God? Do you know Him? Or He's an imaginary God that has been described to you from other people? Did you know that your religion can be your own God? But let me tell you that religion or the law or the letters can never be a living God in your life. The prescription by itself cannot do anything or heal your sickness, but the medicine itself can heal. The prescription can do anything. Even if you are an atheist, you have some God in your life. But the question is that God alive or dead? In the Bible, when we see that Adam sinned by not hearing the voice of the living God, spiritually and later physically, we saw that man became dead. He was expelled from Garden of Eden, and the way to the Tree of Life was closed by God Himself. In reality, they were separated from the presence of God. There was no communication between man and God. And it was just like kind of text messages between God and man. I will explain that. Then God started to speak humanity through prophets, and in different ways, waiting for them to respond to His call. And through some people, such as Abraham and Moses, He started to show a shadow of His plan and purpose to them, trying to make them understand His heart and His love for them. Until such a time that the Bible calls it the perfection of time, when it came, God became flesh and dwelt among humanity. Leaving a door for them to enter back to His presence. As my brother Carl last week mentioned about that veil, that veil when was broken. In other words, again, the very holy presence of God was open for all humanity to enter there. So now there is a hope for all humanity, and it is a living hope. No matter from what background you are coming, no matter what race, what religion, or how good or bad you are, that door now is open. Now that man can have direct access to His very presence and receive life. But there is only one door. There is no other doors to that presence of God, to that living God. And that door is Jesus. Maybe for some of people it's a stumbling block, but that is the Bible says. And he said, let's go see what Jesus said about that, what the Bible says about that door. And by the way, he's not speaking anymore through prophets, but he speaks through his son. As it says in Hebrews, it says, chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and he expressed, and the express image of his person, express image of God, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. The now God is speaking back to humanity through his son, who is exact expression of his image. And Jesus said in chapter 10, verse 7 to 8, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I said to you, I am the door of the sheep. We are talking about that door. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. This is the mission of Christ. He opened the door. He became the door to the presence of God, to the source of life, that living God. In another place, in John 5, 24, it says, most assuredly I say to you, Jesus said, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. My friends, if this is your first time, you have never experienced this word that I am sharing with you, Jesus is inviting you. Today, it's not me who is speaking. It's God's voice to everyone who hasn't experienced Christ in their life. He's calling you to open your hearts, to receive him as your Lord, to receive him as life, as that new life. You can start a brand new life today in your life and start this experiencing of that living God. No matter how bad you think you are, or no matter how good you think you are, how can you reject the love of God? He loves you, and he is speaking to you. He gave his life for every one of you. So do not reject his voice. But I have a message also for us as believers and Christians. And the question is God in our lives just God, or he is the living God? Did you know that God can turn in our lives into an idol if he is not that living God? Because we can start to have an imagination. I strongly believe that in the last conference that this church had, God spoke to us very clearly, very simple way, explaining everything. And my prayer is that none of us to miss or ignore his voice, what we heard. And we heard one of the parts of that message was about the idols, because idols was the main cause of falling of Israel. They failed the promises of God because they allowed idols in their lives. As we know, the main work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, individually and collectively, is to form Christ, who is the expression of that living God in us. And the question is, can we resist to that work? Can we resist to the work of the Holy Spirit? I believe there are two major elements that can make a believer to stop the work of the Holy Spirit. One is not hearing properly, not listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Second thing is the proud. And listen what it says, the Word of God, in Hebrews chapter 3. From verse 7 to 15. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So one of the main elements of our preventing hardening our hearts is to listen, to go back and listen to the Word of God, to meditate, and never harden our hearts, which can be through many, many, as it says, through the deceitfulness of sin. And then what that happens, our heart starts to become harder and harder. Also pride. One of the problems also of Israel was pride. God warned in Deuteronomy and said that when all these things happen, when you saw my hand, don't say in your heart, I have achieved all this. So in your life, whether it's your individual life, whether it is collectively in our church, it is God's grace so far that has brought us here. Let's not be proud of what we have or what we are. When we see the life of David, we saw one of the characteristics of David was his humbleness. It was when he always said, who am I that you have called me? Right? Because he didn't have any special thing, but yet all others, they were thinking they had statues, they I don't know, so many other maybe characteristics or qualities, they could have been the anointed one. But yet, this man was a humble man. He never, all his life, you never see him that he raised himself as somebody. So God was looking his heart. He humbled himself. The same quality should be in us. It says, same thought as it was in Jesus should be in us. That he, being in the same glory of God, he humbled himself. Same mentality should be in us. But David, when he saw at that time, when he came, he couldn't see any giant. He couldn't see anybody, any threat. Because he said, who is this uncircumcised man that is challenging the people of God, army of the living God? Because he was believing in that living God. He was not afraid. He didn't see that giant. He saw that army of God. He saw that living God is going to fight. The same thing when we are under pressure. Where is our God? Who is our God at that time? We see the life of Daniel. When they took him to the den of lions, he didn't panic. He didn't even start to fight against that circumstances. He didn't start to make a plans for that circumstances. He believed in that living God. And such a testimony that the king, when find out that he came, the word of God in chapter 6, Daniel 19 to 21, it says, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to deliver you from the lions? See, this is the situation of Daniel. Yes, he was able to save him. This is a question, even in our worship, in our expression of our emotions to God. Look what David says. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That again, because God is a living God in his life. And he is searching for that living God. In our circumstances, we have to search, where is God in my life? Is he living in my life? Is he living God in my life? Because if he is not a living God in my life, there is no excitement, first of all. Secondly, there is no confidence. We are afraid in the smallest situation. And we are under any stress, we are afraid. We always try to find human solutions for our problems because we don't know that living God. But God is not leaving us there. I think when he speaks, because he wants to change our lives. He wants to bring us from God to a living God. He wants to make us to have that experience of that living God. That wherever we go, in whatever circumstances we are not afraid. We know who is beside us. We know who is the head of the church. We know who is in my business, who is in my family, where am I? He is the one. So we stand still, says the word of God, and see the salvation of God. Stand still. But how can we stand still if we don't see him as a living God in our lives? When the in a church, the living God, the God is living God, then the church is living church. You know? And and that living church is very holy for God. And it says the word of God in Hebrews 12. But you have not come, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an admirable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all. See, even that Mount Zion is God himself, is the firstborn church, is the Mount Zion, is the house of God. It's all living God. In 1 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. You know, this church used to have the name, the Church of the Living God. Even though we know that it's a name, just name. You know, we can have even the name of the Church of the Living God, but yet it's not the, to not be living, you know. But I really love this name. I think it's really, we see this as a living God. As I said, it's just name, but truly the church should be the church of living God. I just wanted to share this message. And just to make us to think sometimes, where is my God? Who is my God? Is my God is living God in my life? Am I experiencing that living God in my life? This is a process. We know that we are growing in that knowledge of God. We are growing in that experience. But just examine ourselves to see, maybe sometimes we resist, maybe, but by not hearing the voice of God, we are hardening our hearts. Maybe something of pride, seed of pride, is not allowing us to see the glory of God in our lives, to fullness of God in our life, because that God that we follow is living God, and we have to allow him to show his livingness in our life.